right. It is the Malcolm Go podcast on September the 26th, 2019. Tony and Tyler are here. What's going on, Ty?
Feels good. What are we, about 104 points to six or something like
something
that?
Something like that. This is the first, the world's first anti-Gunnar Olszewski podcast. I wanted to throw my fucking phone through the TV when I saw that. Fucking, he ruined everything. If the defense is not going at his legs all throughout practice this week, I don't know what to tell you. Like this, people should be going at his knees the whole time. It's unacceptable. First of all, not only that, but they blew the spread because dumb Stidham came in, decided he's going to throw a pick six, which sailed. It would have been over the Empire State Building. I don't even know who the intended receiver was, but if it was the Empire State Building, it would have been too high.
I don't know if Brady gets hard often during games, but you saw a slight boner when Stidham threw that pick six. Yeah, this is why I don't want these fucking jacked losers in the game.
That's why he never wants to come in.
They don't deserve to be in the game, and they shouldn't be in the game.
Yeah, the best part of the thing I thought was Antonio Brown looked really good. What? I'm being told by my producer that Antonio Brown did not make it 2 weeks on the team, which is perfect because we have a with us we have our Southern Law consultant, but we're gonna have to play him in here. He's a Malcolm Go lawyer to the stars. He negotiates all our deals with Kowloon, with Cane's Donuts, with the Hilltop.
And by when we say he negotiates all our deals, he got me on my last two DUIs. So
that's but he got you off when you were selling yayo back in college. Who got you off?
Yeah, I gotta give the nod to my Southern Law.
Well, let's see. He's down south, so you gotta give him a little taste of his own music.
All right,
bring him in. Oh, well, maybe it would help if I turn the volume up. Let's start that over. Producer, you're fired.
Oh, all right. Let's cut this part out.
We'll just cut it out. Just cut it out.
If you're going to play in Texas, you got to have a fiddle in the band. That lead guitar is hot, but not for Louisiana man. So raw's enough that both are faded love, and let's all dance. If you're going to play in Texas, you got to have a fiddle in the band.
Kenneth Paul, where you at?
What's going on? I'm at the Malcolm Go satellite office here in Little Rock, Arkansas.
Little Rock, Arkansas. Can y'all hear him? That's our Southern lawyer. So we wanted to bring you in and talk a little Antonio Brown.
I'll tell you what bugs me is that Tony spent 45 minutes in the South, and now he has a Southern lawyer, like nothing.
You know what? We should discuss my trip this weekend. Before we get into anything, Charleston's a fine town. That's where our good friend KP's from. Down there, Charleston.
KP, you're from Charleston?
I'm from like an hour east of it. No, west. Hour east, you'd be in the middle of the ocean. Hour west of it, you'd be downtown Columbia.
All right, that's too much. Just say you're from, like, when everyone, states down there are just too big. It makes no sense. Yes, you're from Charleston. He's an hour away from Charleston. In terms of, like, scale, that's like us being, like, from Lynn. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like
living in Dorchester. Yeah, it's part of Boston still.
And we can't go buy a fucking train ticket. That's not a thing. You got to drive. You got to put in man hours.
Well, you got one of those little pickup trucks with all the people in the back.
You got to put rubber on the pavement. That's how it works.
I had a guy at my work today tell me he was from Chicago. Turns out he's 2 hours outside Peoria, Illinois. that's not even close. You're not even from Peoria.
Yeah.
You're 2 hours outside that. Like, why don't you just tell me if you're from Chicago? People just have a willy-nilly sense of
city. There's like six cities anybody knows, so they're just like, that's one of them. I'm like, you know, if I told KP, like,
I know states.
KP should really say he's from Atlanta. Like, that's really where we should be. Like, he shouldn't be, I'm from, I'm from South Carolina. It's like, nobody knows. No. That's,
I'm from deep outside Atlanta.
You couldn't, there's KKK billboards. There's all types of things going on down there. So we should talk about it. Anyway, Charleston's a fine town.
I heard it's the best town in the South.
Oh, expensive as hell.
The South is the world, Tyler. That's a hot take.
Can you please get close? Nobody can hear you. No, you gotta get close.
The world. It's the best city in the entire world, but it's not even close.
It is a great city. I was a big, big cocktail guy down there. I've become a cocktail guy. I was always a Scotch whiskey guy. Now I'm like a bourbon. I'm a rye guy. I'm all over the place. People were making me Sazeracs, all types of things. I was lining up. There was this place called Bourbon and Bubbles. And that's all they did was make whiskey drinks.
I don't want to know about the bath you and fucking. Wow, why am I biting on Ann's name right now?
No, no, I was all over the place. I mean, I thought, first of all, number one, night one, I show up to a place called Hall's Chop House, KP. How big is this?
Oh, my God. That is the Roots Chris of the South.
Yeah. The South. But it's a one-off. There's no Roots Chris. That's the only one. Or whatever, that's like the big one.
Sorry, but real quick, can we talk about KP's thighs? I mean, damn it, we got a video stream here. Guy's got nice thighs.
He's got pencil legs.
He's got beautiful, he's got Tom Brady bobblehead, it looks like, in the back.
It's a Donald Trump bobblehead, of course it is.
Oh, Jesus. Well, Brady wore the same hat at one point.
I would vote Donald Trump for king tomorrow, but that's for a different podcast.
All right, real quick on that. Turns out if he gets impeached, he can run two more times. We get three turns of Donald
Is
Trump.
That real?
Just
he'd probably win, too. That's how crazy people
little
are.
Little Malcolm go fun. But anyways, Ruth Chris of the South.
I'm all in.
So anyway, y'all have seen Southern Charm and stuff alike of that ilk. Charleston's an old South town, right? So everyone dresses.
NFL fans, Panthers? Are they across the border? The
Tostitos bags tell me yes, they're Panthers fans.
But they're mainly what? Like
They love the Panthers and the Falcons. Big Falcons.
But what are they, Clemson and South Carolina mix or what?
A little bit of both. Nobody likes South Carolina, actually. They stink.
Yeah.
But they do play jump around going into between the third and the fourth quarter. That's fun.
Yeah.
I don't know what just happened.
That's Wisconsin, but I appreciate the effort.
No, what do they play there? What do they play at South Carolina?
He's such a Southerner. That's all he knows is college football.
He's so pissed that he makes up the song.
I know the entry song to every university. Yeah. God damn it. University of Rhode Island comes out to Run DMC, and you know it.
Listen, fag boy, get their third and fourth quarter song right.
It just fucking means more.
It does mean more.
It just means more.
I want to go. One game in the SEC you have to see. What is it?
Oh, my God. You put me on the spot. I'm at the Iron Bowl. If you're going to go to one, you got to go to Auburn, Alabama.
Have you been?
No, but I just know that.
Fair enough.
I would say the Iron Bowl.
What's the best
well?
College football game you've been to?
Oh, Arkansas-LSU in Little Rock, Arkansas. Shit gets piping.
That sounds like it's just – that's homerism at its finest.
No, but, like, is that, like, a battle right there? Or is that, like,
yes, that's a big rivalry. They have the heaviest trophy in sports. It's called the battle for the golden boot.
One of the dumbest things ever. Guys, we've got the heaviest trophy. It's not the one everybody wants. Not the goddamn Stanley Cup. No. It's the heaviest trophy in sports. That's what they're calling it. It's like, this is not the one everybody wants or even they need. We just made it up, but it's goddamn it's the heaviest. It's made out of fucking iron.
The boot is the size of my dick. Just the pledge it's on underneath is fucking 4,000 pounds.
It's fucking huge. Look it up. It's a unit. It's a big size.
I like the idea of just random colleges having trophies for no stupid reason. Syracuse used to do that with West Virginia. And everybody like, it's the battle for this fucking trophy. I forget what it was. It was like the Schwarzwalder trophy or something like that.
I'll tell you.
And it meant nothing to me. I was like, wow. People were talking about, like, we're going to win the trophy this year. I was like, I don't care about that trophy at all. That shouldn't be a thing.
I'll tell you the best trophy in the game is Saugus Peabody has a trophy. Thanksgiving Day, you have to win three times in a row to get the trophy back. In order to lose the trophy, you have to lose it. So it was the last year we lost 18 straight years to Peabody.
True story, I did not know there was a trophy because all we did was lose forever.
Yeah, why would anyone know there's a trophy? You have to win three straight times. We didn't come close to winning once in 20 years.
I don't know that that's true. How can that be true?
Because here's what happened.
Who makes that rule up?
The last
that's
year
a
we played.
Fucking rule.
We played. Well, it used to fucking probably switch back and forth. But yeah. The last year, Peabody was like, fuck this. We beat you guys 20 times in a row. You guys.
At least win three. Yeah, because they probably had a case.
Yeah.
Like they had it, like, it was probably center of the school.
Yeah. It was embarrassing. They're like, listen, we're embarrassed to play you at this point. We don't want to play you anymore.
Yeah.
So a little caveat in the last game of the series, and it was like a 60-year run. They're like, all right, whoever wins.
It really was like 1912 to like 2007. They were just like, guys, this is getting out of hand.
I think it was like 96 was the last time Saugus won. And so 2007, that was the last year they were playing. They're like, all right, if whoever wins this year keeps the trophy. We beat them in arguably the biggest upset of all time.
I was at it, and I couldn't believe it because it was Dominic's senior year, and it was all
junior,
your...
But whatever.
Whatever, junior year. So all his boys were playing. So we went, and I was like...
Mainly me.
I was like, this can't be happening. I was over the moon. It was like the Patriots had won the Super Bowl for the first time again.
Well, we beat Peabody, and then they gave us the trophy. We stole the trophy out of their fucking lung. And they were like, well... We weren't really serious about that. Whoever wins get to keep the trophy. Well, he had to beat us three more times. So
it's our goddamn trophy, boy.
They took the trophy and they retired it, and then they started a new one when they played again. So I'd say
they
that's
retired
a little bigger
the
than,
trophy.
I think that's a little bigger than Arkansas LSU, but whatever. Yeah, so August Peabody is kind of a big deal.
I'm not gonna argue that. I'm not gonna argue.
You shouldn't argue it. The last home game at Stackpole Field this coming Thanksgiving. Can you believe it?
Oh, I hope they burn it down.
They should pay the Saugus Sachem to take it, bury the goddamn trophy at midfield.
Oh, that would be great.
Yeah, win it and bury the trophy at midfield. And then, because now they're going to have a football field at the high school. This is so local that literally nobody that lives, like, even five streets away from me cares
about
this
podcast.
You know what's
crazy, too, is that even if you're from Massachusetts, Saugus is so bad at football even if you're a Patriots fan, you're like, why the fuck? No one gives a fuck about the worst town in the entire state at football.
It really is the worst. They haven't had a winning season since, like, 72. It's not even a joke.
It's pathetic.
Like, teams like... I mean, just think of, like, NFL, anybody. Teams, like, you'll, like, get lucky and have, like, I don't know, you'll be, like, 9-3 one year. The Saugus has never done that. They've just been like, fuck it. They were like, let's just get high and, like, we'll show up and maybe girls will like us because we wear uniforms. And we'll learn the fucking wing tee and lose by 40 each game.
And even when you think a girl will like you when you have a uniform when you go to college, you realize they don't.
They don't care at all. Well, and in my day, it was if you played football, you were just like, Why wouldn't you play hockey? Like, why, that was like, they were like, you're playing football, but you could train for hockey because they're good.
Well, the good news is Saugus has your presenting sponsor of Kowloon.
It is. That's big. Yeah, Kowloon is a sponsor, and I'm glad that you were able to land them for us. So, again, back down to Charleston. So we thought, like you see on TV, it's a high society town, so you got to wear, your Sunday best, right? So we go to this place, Halls, right? And it's the number, it's like... ranked like the number three or four steakhouse in the country. It's like number one restaurant in Charleston.
Is it a fat KP?
It's not. Yeah, it's not. I mean, it's the best shit I ever put in my mouth.
It's no joke, right? They get all their meat from like this famous Chicago meat house, whatever. So we get a table, 9 p.m., first available table. I grabbed it. So four of us go out there, both of our wives' birthday. We're dressed to the nines. I'm fucking in full up. Blue blazer, a flowery fucking pocket square. I'm wearing whatever Nantucket red pants, boat shoes. I was like, look, you couldn't tell I wasn't from Charleston. But like, we show up, there's guys in like fucking Metallica t-shirts. Like, it was,
oh, they didn't give a fuck.
No, nobody gave a fuck. My other friends were all dressed up. Both of the girls are really dressed up nice. And literally, like, we walk in as a fucking Ride the Lightning t-shirt guy, like, as the host. And I was like, all right. All right, so that's one thing.
Wait a minute.
So anyway, we start getting drinks, and then our table's called. So we go up there. We start eating. Fuck it, I'm telling you. Everything we got, they have like the thick bacon for an appetizer.
Delicious?
It's like, yeah, it's delicious. It's like fucking 2 inches thick. You can only eat like one or two bites. It was ridiculously thick. And then, you know, they start giving you all the southern shit, like grit, like some type of grit, some type of corn is like what they're famous for. And it's all delicious. And I had never drank wine before, like at a restaurant. I'm not a wine guy. I'm a cocktail guy.
Wait.
What?
You'd never
at a restaurant? No.
You'd never drink a glass of wine at a restaurant?
No, I'm not a wine guy. I'm a cocktail guy.
Yeah, everyone's a cocktail guy.
Yeah.
So you never drink a glass of wine at a restaurant?
Certainly not at a place like that.
How old are you?
I'm 33.
12? The McConties are the dumbest people I've ever met in my fucking life. What do you mean never drink a glass of wine? You go out with your dad 4 million times for dinner and never once was like, hey, let's get a bottle of wine. You just had a glass of wine?
No, you can drink your glass of wine. You bring Tony a sapphire and tonic, okay? That's what you do.
Ugh, I fucking no. hate.
So anyway, my buddy was like, we're going to have some wine. I was like, you know what? Let's go fucking, let's get some wine. He's like, let's stay in the $100 range. So he went over to the wine guy. And they're like, we don't have that. Like, we're like, the lowest we can get is $175, but I mean, it's decent. I was like, first of all, it's the best wine I've ever had.
And wait, Well, yeah, you never had a glass of wine at dinner, and the first glass of wine you went for was $175.
Look, we were fucking ball. We dressed the part, so we had to look the part. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. we didn't want
to
go.
You guys got suckered. They had a $50 bottle right next to the $175 bottle, but they're like, this idiot in red pants is going to fucking buy this shit. Watch this.
This douchebag. He's from out of town. You hear his accent.
Yeah, and they play dumb like, oh, we're from the South. You know, we only know $175 bottle. You think you Northerners can afford that? And you're like, hell yeah, we can show you up.
This is here. This here's in Confederate money. I don't know if you've seen.
Oh, you got suckered right. They played you real hard.
So the steak goes wild. It's crazy. The best steak I've ever had. They give you like this truffle butter. You throw it on there. You fucking eat it up. You know, I didn't think I was going to love it, but I loved it. The sides were ridiculous. Like the corn and the grits. I don't know. I wanted to eat them the whole time. That's all I wanted. And then, so it was my wife's birthday. At the end, all fucking banged up because I had like three G&Ts before we sat down, and then the wine came over. That's all I had to drink was the wine. So then they start bringing over both the people I'm with, my wife already. We're all banged up, ready to go home. So the guy goes, "You guys want to see dessert menu?" We're like, "Nah, we're good." So they come over, four glasses of champagne, like Dom Perignon champagne, and this is the issue with I think overdressing because we looked like we could pay for all this shit. So they were like, "Ah, man, we'll just give them four glasses of Dom Perignon." So we drink it, obviously. And then the guy's like, "For the gentleman, what's your favorite whiskeys?" I was like, "Well, I'm a Lagavulin guy. Like, this is a great." I was like, "This restaurant is what the Southern hospitality. You never knew." And then they gave us a single whiskey, neat, like I like it. And then they bring over the two best desserts you've ever seen. I don't know. It was like a cinnamon cake and a fucking Bananas Foster, which I never knew I loved, but it's now my favorite thing.
I never knew I loved.
I was like, "What is this?" He's like, "That's Bananas Foster on top of a peach cobbler." I was like, "This is I like all of this."
I said the same thing about getting my ass licked.
Yeah, I'm right there with you.
I never
friend.
Knew I loved it until it happened.
Until it happens, Bananas Foster's ass licking right there in the same lane. So anyway, I'm like, "This place is great. I can't wait to tell everybody about it." Check comes. $700.
What? Wait, made you pay for the Dom?
So all of it was on the fucking
Why
thing.
Why did they give it to you?
That's my question. But the did way you? I was dressed, I couldn't be like, fella.
No,
like, this was not discussed before prior.
You but see how these buttons don't match up? That's Marshall's.
I said, "Look, man, this is Joseph Abood, man. This is not, this is, I got this. It was like $60 at Men's Warehouse. It's
Wait.
Not.
No, fuck it. They charge you for four. You didn't
They charge
ask.
Me for the champagne, the cakes, and the whiskey.
Wait, I get the whiskey because the whiskey's kind of like, "Oh, what's your favorite whiskey?" And you're like, "Oh, blah, blah, blah." And then they're like, "All right."
I thought we were bonding.
They're bringing it to you. The cakes is like, was that the same type of pitch? Why did
No, those just came. They didn't ask anything. Didn't say anything about the champagne or the cakes.
What did you do?
What, like before, when you make the reservations, you're like, "Is there a special occasion?" So I'm like, "Yeah, it's both of our wives' birthday." So like, they didn't make a big deal about it. What'd you say?
They check your credit score before you went in there?
They should have. Because it's wildly outdated now.
So
then the check comes. I'm just like, "Well, going to have to eat this one." Like, I can't.
You didn't bring it up?
No, I ate it.
No. Never. No, you're an idiot.
No, I'm not doing it. I was dressed too well to ever fucking make a fucking thing about it. Both of it. Like, even my friend, I would have been embarrassed to do it. And he was hammered. He was already in a blackout.
Oh, geez. I would have been quickly like, "Whoa, we didn't know we were going to pay." Like, listen, we get it. The whiskey, the cakes. Like, yeah, we kind of knew it was the But no one said anything about champagne. And then, you know, they knock off two. And then that gets you down to $400 because each glass is like $125.
Nah, they weren't that. They were like $45 a glass or something.
Oh, that's, you know, that's cheap change.
The whiskey was actually, the whiskey's usually the most expensive thing you get at a restaurant and was the cheapest thing they had. It was like, usually a Lagavulin neat is like $40. There was $21.
Yeah.
So that was good. The cake was worth it, though, to be honest.
You haven't even touched on the greatest picture that's ever been taken where you look like the white Rick Ross.
I do. Everything about me was Rick Ross. I had my shirt unbuttoned all the way to my belly button, my gold chain hanging, and I just had the big giant cigar in my mouth. We got cigars after. We were celebrating our $700 dinner, and we had a rooftop patio.
At that point, it's like, it's over. You might as well make it.
Oh, I was all in at that point. I was like, fuck it. We might as well eat this whole weekend. So
did you tip or was the tip included?
No, I tracked. No, and I had to tip after.
You tipped on $700. What'd you tip?
I don't know. What's 20% of that?
$840 you left?
Something like that. That was quick math, if that's correct.
You know what we said?
I'm a waitress.
Out?
I mean, yeah. Oopsies.
You can't hide money.
I don't have it, though. I was flaunting the fact that I had it when I did not at all. And I was just looking at... I remember I came back on Monday and was just looking at the thing on my... on my Amex like statement, just looking at it online, like, I wonder if there's a way I could just pretend I wasn't in Charleston and make them take that away.
All right, between you and the boys and maybe the two listeners we have, I lost my wallet last week.
Right.
And
all the listeners remember that.
Did I bring it up?
Yeah.
I was pretty, yeah, but the girl, the
homeless man,
the Bigfoot or whatever.
Yeah, big hands, big dead arm.
Yeah, dead arm, Bigfoot, the whole deal. I might have told Bank of America that all my charges on Sunday and Monday weren't mine. Got a nice $184 knocked off my fucking credit card bill.
Oof, I'd like to see that.
Oh, that was
$184.
Because I took my girlfriend out to dinner the night before.
You didn't talk to your legal counsel about that beforehand.
Oh, is that not, should I not bring that up now?
Well, now you said it in front of the lawyer.
I love that decision.
Oh, I've done this. I've done this a few times. I did it when I was 22. We go out to the bar. And you spend way too much money.
Yeah.
You just, lost my Discover. That's, I would never go out.
Don't they do,
don't they do
inquiries into that? And they go, look at this dumb idiot on fucking screen.
No, because when I sign, I always sign my name different. Like with a line. Never it's a signature ever.
Jesus.
That's probably good, right?
This is borderline fraud, I think.
It's not borderline.
Yeah, sure, it might be a little fraud, but no, but like if you were going to recommend to one of your clients, would you ever want to give a singular signature? I think that's always bad. I think you always make a signature where you can never tell it's you.
Why wouldn't somebody pretend to do your name?
I wouldn't tell one of my clients to commit fraud. I think that's wrong.
Is that unethical? I don't think so.
Yeah, but you wouldn't tell them to not commit fraud.
Yeah, I mean, it would be like a handshake deal.
Yeah,
basically.
Do you think Rosenhaus didn't tell AB at the end? Like, come on, just let's stretch this a little. Like, we're already to the point where like this probably isn't going to work out. Let's make it not work out.
I was on the plane when I heard. I was like, so we're flying down Charleston, and I'm on the plane, and I'm like. Yeah, I just feel it. I felt it in my bones. Because before I left, like that story came out that he texted the girl. And me and you, KP, were texting. And we were like, what's this mean? And then you're like, I don't know. He texted just like the kids, like a kid's picture of the lady or whatever. The lady's kids like intimidated her or something. And I was like, that's not going to end well. I was like, so I just expect, I was partly in the camp that Belichick was going to go down with the ship. And I was also in the fact that, the only person that would ever let him go would be Kraft. And I think that's exactly what happened. Like, he just made...
I don't know if Kraft is the right guy to release him. Kraft just got caught getting his dick beat by a bunch of Asian women.
Yeah.
I don't think...
How can you not respect that?
So that's a big narrative going on in Boston right now is that Belichick and Brady wanted to keep Antonio Brown even after everything he did.
Yeah.
And that Kraft was like, no, he has to go because he was getting bad mouth.
Yeah.
I mean,
now it's getting, but he's insane. He's like literally insane. Have you seen his stuff? Like he's literally Charlie Sheen 10 years ago.
No.
He's like one step away from living with hookers and having HIV.
No, I don't buy it for a second. I think 100% Antonio Brown started going out of his mind and Belichick was like, dude, this guy's got to go.
It's crazy.
I have a hot take about this. I think Belichick was like, this guy does not speak the same dialect as me because he read his text messages like, this motherfucker is never going to learn our playbook. So why would we keep him?
He did have an illegible text message. When he was texting that girl saying that she was lying, I read it. I was like, this would not hold up in court. You couldn't tell it. You couldn't read it. You could not read it. It didn't make any sense. It was literally, you know, black people, they mush words together like in text messages. I don't know. I got like two words. It was like literally like reading, like if you went to like Italian 101 and learned some Italian and then saw something written in Italian, like a year later, you'd be like, oh, this is a word I know. And then you just keep going through the paragraph, be like, oh, this is not the word I know. And that's it. It was like reading a different language.
So what, I don't even really know exactly what happened. Oh. But he basically said, like, he put her in a group message with his lawyer.
His lawyer, yeah.
And like, a couple and of his like boys.
10 of his buddies. And like 10 of his friends, not even her friends.
And said, shut the fuck up, bitch, pretty much, or we're going to come
back. Yeah, and he was like, she's poor. She's a poor idiot. Look at how poor she is. And here's her kids with their fucking dirty feet. Like, that was basically what it was. Like, they got dirty feet. They're disgusting. Look at them. And,
Well, do they have dirty feet?
I'm sure they did.
Well, if they have dirty feet, there's nothing wrong yet.
Yeah. So
I think my favorite moment of this whole sequel is when he tweeted, I won't be playing in the NFL anymore. That's like me saying, like, I'm not going to pursue Rihanna or Beyonce anymore.
Sir, no, I don't think anybody would like to talk to you anymore. You're fucking insane. Literally, that is, the Patriots signed you and you were gone within 11 days. He was like, he kept the crazy down. And there was like so many of that, the Get Out memes, like, you know how like the black people turn like into like white peoples and like calm and the relax in that movie. He was like that for like 5 days. Like, I just want to work hard. I want to play football. It's all about football while I'm here. And then like, all he just fucking blew up. He went crazy. It's something with that guy. He's just nuts. Not one person that has a good thing to say about him.
My buddy Will Noonan, who's
I saw that
Boston
today.
Comedian, and he's on the Kumia show a lot.
Yeah.
He tweeted, Antonio Brown tweeted something. He was like, dude, he goes, how about you try to play for four teams this year? And he quote tweeted it, was like, we're going after four. Like, he loved it. He's like, yeah, I'm going to get one more team, get fucking thrown off that team, and go for another one, too.
Let's go for four.
Where is he going now? I heard rumors he is going to go somewhere.
There's no chance he's going anywhere.
I think he's going to a team.
Dude, no, I would. You know how mad I would be if he got to go to another team?
Why?
And like, because if he got to play a full season, like, say he went to Kansas City.
No.
But why? But why? Why couldn't he go there? Because nobody would care.
They don't have any morals. They would love to have him.
No, but like, it has to be like a team who's a little more desperate.
They are desperate. They can't beat us.
Yes, they want to.
No, right now they think they can.
They thought they could last year. Their defense is not good enough still.
We have the best football player of all time, and we had the best football player in the league for a week, and it was an eternal high.
It was I'm still calling the AB era of the Patriots the greatest era of all time.
Stop it.
No, he deserves a red jacket for that one week.
That the media in Boston right now is calling Tom Brady a game manager again?
He's a game manager.
Like, the guy has thrown for over 300 yards in every game. He's thrown for two or three touchdowns every game, and he's back to being a game manager.
What makes you a game manager? That's like drop-offs to your running back. He's been throwing bombs every single game.
A game manager is a great quarterback. I love having a game manager as my quarterback.
A game manager won three Super Bowls. People forget that. The game manager won a game manager won the first three, and then a guy that literally can carry a team on his back won the other three.
Well, he won the last. A game manager won the Rams Super Bowl.
Yeah.
At least I think he did. I don't remember that game.
I don't know. All I remember was your vomit on my back.
What'd you say, KP?
The game manager beat the Chiefs in the AFC Championship last year in their abode.
In their house.
That's the most frustrating part. Is like, everyone's like, oh, yeah. The AFC East argument is the biggest. It's the most pathetic argument of all time. Yeah. People still make it constantly.
Well, they look at it like they get six free wins a year, which is just not true. And they don't care that, like, the AFC East outperforms other conferences. Like, Buffalo right now is 3-0, but, like, in past years, they'd beat, like, I don't know, they'd beat, like, Green Bay. But nobody would mention that. They wouldn't be like, the Jets won 10 games a few times. They went to the AFC Championship two times. The Dolphins were good a bunch of times. Nobody ever mentions that, like, they beat other teams. They just think that they win zero games a year.
The Jets went to the AFC Championship twice in this decade.
Back-to-back years.
In this decade. So pretty much in this decade, an AFC East team has been the...
They might have been in every single AFC Championship.
Yeah, I think every single one.
Yeah, I think so. You might be right. Unless the Broncos played somebody else. But I don't think so. I think they had to go through New England both times, and they won both times. So you're probably right. So 2010, I think, was... Yeah, I'm not going to look at it, but it was...
This is right. This is a fact. These are facts.
The AFC East has been in the AFC Championship this entire decade.
So fuck you. I don't know who I'm saying fuck you to.
Everybody.
I feel like that felt good.
So did
fuck
you?
Fuck you.
Did you see Antonio Brown think he was in like think he was Tommy Lee in 1988 destroying a 5-star hotel? Like that had to have come up. Like at, I mean, these little things are coming up now. Like that's not new. That was like, hey guys, like Antonio Brown thinks he's fucking Axl Rose. Why is he destroying a hotel room?
When did that happen?
Who knows? Who knows? All I saw was a video of him smiling and laughing, throwing shit out a window. Like a psychopath.
But he's
it's like you just got too much money.
He's got his life together now, though. He's re-enrolled in school.
He's found God.
He's about to be a philosopher.
But if you push him, Jerry, if you ride him.
What school is he at?
He went to the same school he went to, Central Michigan, right?
He's taking online classes. Yeah. I'll tell you this much. If he could come back to the Patriots tomorrow, I want him to play. I love him.
Yeah, I mean,
I agree. I don't think there's a reason why he shouldn't.
If he got cleared of the sexual assault stuff and like all the only thing he was in trouble for was like being a dickhead and like ruining a hotel room, I think Belichick would take him back in a second, but Kraft would have to accept it.
There's more to it. There has to be the federal investigators, something have to be looking at it because we rode out with him for a week and all Bill wants to do is give a big fuck you to the NFL.
That's what I'm saying. He was like, he was literally ready to be like, I'll fucking go down with the ship. I do not care. Like this guy
is.
He would die on this mountain. He's like, no, Antonio Brown is going to be hoisting that Vince Lombardi trophy unless you tell me he cannot.
All right. So if we win it this year, does AB, you know, he's coming to the party for sure.
He's not getting a ring.
No. No, what? He is.
He cannot get a ring.
Yeah.
He had a touchdown.
I guess so. But did they give Jamie Collins a ring when they traded him that year? I don't think so. I know that Bill Belichick distinctly did not give Terry Glenn a Super Bowl ring in 2001, even though he was on the team the whole year.
I have one question for you.
Why do I know that? Because I just do, all right?
How closely is Antonio Brown tied to Jeffrey Epstein? Now, I'm sure he was on the Lolita Express.
I love the Lolita Express. Why would they be ever tied together?
I'm just convinced that anything that happens now is all.
It's all Illuminati.
It's all Jeffrey Epstein. Antonio Brown was a great player, and then all of a sudden, Jeffrey Epstein gets arrested, and now he's not in the league anymore? Tell me how that makes sense, Tony. Answer me these questions.
This is right along your Bradley Cooper's gay take.
That's a fact.
Epstein wasn't hiding anything. He was like openly raping young people and kids. Antonio Brown just walk in your room and nut on your back.
Yeah, well, I'm still for that move. I don't understand. Like, I don't understand. That's a great move in all of our books.
Great. I don't know about if we can say great, but I respect his courage to just be like, she'll enjoy this.
I don't even think he cares if she enjoyed it. Was the thing? She was just like, this is hilarious. I'm gonna do this.
I loved her statement that she was watching church on her iPad when he did it. Like,
church.
No, you weren't. You
were not watching church. You were watching Pornhub, and everybody knows it.
I haven't been to church, and I've for sure never watched church, but I feel like that's not when you watch church. I don't.
My nonny used to watch Italian church on fucking on TV on Sunday, and I'd be like, all I'd want to do is watch Looney Tunes. This is for a while when I was a young kid, and I stayed at my grandmother's a lot. And I'd be like, this is the worst.
I wish I had confidence ever. That's what this makes me feel like. I don't have any confidence. And I for sure don't have confidence enough.
I don't think this is the place to bring it up.
Well, yeah, I think it is. It's a little, you know, we're in it.
It's a forum.
But I don't think I would ever in my life have the confidence to be like, I'm going to jerk off this girl's back. And I'm like, that's what I'm going
to do. You were never all pro, to be fair.
Yeah, and I think it's because I didn't have the confidence. Everyone knows I have the talent.
Yeah.
It was there.
You look like you're a strong safety. All pro strong safety.
I can't think of somebody that has more in common with Antonio Brown than Tyler off the top of my head.
Yeah.
That's fact.
Abs and everything.
Yeah, that feels good.
Good.
You know, I'm back.
Your complexion is eerily similar.
You get that Paisans. A couple Paisans.
I'd sit in the hospital time. I'm going to jerk off a nurse when she's cleaning my grandfather's bed. What? Did we not cover that? We covered that pre-show.
Wait, what happened?
Papa's in the hospital.
Oh, no.
Sleep over tonight.
What happened in the hospital? Why is Pop in the hospital?
I mean, when you're a fucking 1,000, you get UTIs left and right.
Oh, gross. I didn't even know guys could get that.
Yeah, apparently he's sleeping around.
Hold on.
Yeah.
I
got to respect it. He's in an advanced age, isn't he?
He's 92. We have like 4 in-house nurses.
They live there?
No, they come in like once a week, each of them, different times. Turns out he's fucking them all.
You try to haul at him? You ever try and haul at the nurse?
There's one that smokes cigarettes outside. I'm like, yeah. I could get this.
Bitch. Yeah, if she smokes, she pokes. You know that move.
That is my girl.
Yeah.
Smokes cigarettes on a Sunday morning. I'm like, ooh.
She's dirty. You don't smoke on a Sunday. That's church day.
Oh, if they're neglecting him, I know some really good nursing home negligence attorneys. Reddick Moss, shout them out.
I like all this. Well,
Tyler's like, KP is one of them. He's like a billboard attorney. Like, if you hit something, like, oh, if you slipped at work, I will get you paid.
KP, we'll talk off air, but I'm about to sue my company hard.
Yeah, you can't sue that company. I don't think.
Why?
Why could you sue it? It's a kiosk. You can't sue a kiosk.
Oh, the kiosk.
We shouldn't talk about this.
What?
We shouldn't talk about this.
What about kiosks?
No, about Tyler's lawsuit against his damn.
Oh, I think I make some decent money.
Yeah, I think so too.
I can at least pay off my college loans. They're like $700, but I could get rid of them real quick.
How much do you think that kiosk could pay you? One night's wages?
Oh, no. They own like 20 bars.
Yeah.
We're taking the whole thing down.
fucking from the top down. Yeah. I'm going to tear you down. So anyway.
Doesn't it suck that this is the second week in a row, like, talking about the Patriots hasn't even been a priority? Like, there's nothing you can really, looking at it, like, all right, they won by fucking 48 points again.
Well, I just really want to make this an anti-Gunnar Olszewski podcast.
It's, I don't even know. Like, there's nothing really, like, what are we going to talk about? The running game has struggled. So what? Like, who gives a fuck? They're winning by 48 points.
Well, I am mad that they blew the fucking cover, and I was in back to me. I was at a barbecue joint down there. Had to be 45% Patriots fans there, which was lovely.
We have a strong following down south.
A big hold. And then, so anyway, so they're winning, and everyone, you could just tell, like, even non-Patriots fans were, like, all game, like, the fuck? My Alexa just thinks. Alexa thinks I'm talking to it. Why? It's a fucking robot. That thing just listens to you.
Yeah, you bring up Jeffrey Epstein, all of a sudden Alexa starts.
No, all of a sudden I'm popping. I've been listening, motherfucker. I've been listening.
What you talking about, Tyler? So, I'm right here, boy.
It's funny you mentioned that because I was thinking Illuminati the other day, even though I don't know anything about it. But I saw Gwen Stefani on TV. I was like, she eats babies. Like, there's no way that girl looks exactly like she looked when I was in middle school and I had a crush on her. She's the same person.
Yeah.
She eats babies.
Jennifer Aniston. I mean, she hasn't aged.
She's aged a little bit.
But she's
aged a little bit. Gwen Stefani literally is a mirror image of Gwen Stefani at 21.
Tom Brady's aging in reverse. I'm convinced.
Yeah. No, Brady is definitely looks better. But to be fair, like Jennifer Aniston, when she was like 22, she looked like 35. Like, she didn't look like, oh, that was a hot 22-year-old. She looked like, oh, that's just a hot woman.
Yeah, she was a classy
lady.
She's been
a hot woman forever.
She was never a sex pot.
No, but Brady for sure looks younger now.
He's thinner, svelter, just toned. Not really toned.
His cheekbones are like,
he's got elite cheekbones.
Yeah, but they look fake, like, compared to his old. His face got surgery.
I don't care. I will not hear of it. I will not hear of it. Tom Brady's not a surgery guy. He's a man's man. I bet you his hands are like stone, chiseled from granite.
I wasn't supposed to talk about this, but I have a guy on the inside.
What guy on the inside?
A regular
Dorito
at
Dink?
My bar.
Regular
his
your bar.
Nephew is Tom Brady's tutor.
Tutor?
What do you mean tutor? What the
Tom
fuck?
Brady's kids tutors.
Oh, his kids tutor.
Okay.
Tutors
his kids.
You left that out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I had no good story.
What else?
That's it? That's the whole story?
I was going to go with something, but then I realized
the only thing
I've heard was that
that they're good students?
No, Giselle kind of runs the house and Tom just kind of plays football.
No shit.
Damn it.
Everyone knows that.
I thought I had a take for a second.
She's like the mom and he's just like, I'm going to go do some guy shit.
I'm going to be honest, for a second I remembered, I was like, oh, I have this. And then I started telling him, and I was like, I don't know.
It's going to come out. It's going to come out one way or the other. Now you got to get into that.
I almost made something up. It was on my Tom Brady's race.
That needs to be our source though now.
I think you need to kill that guy and you need to be the tutor.
Oh, yeah, I'm the tutor. I'm the substitute tutor now. Like Tyler could go in there and start teaching Algebra 1.
I'm not. Yeah,
I know the Pythagorean theorem.
You know what's hilarious is I was one of the cooks at my work today was asking me, like, it was pretty slow. So she's writing down sentences, and we're like, all right, now she's like, give me another example of a sentence with a verb in it, you know, so I could learn. And I wrote writes wrong. Yeah. I spelled it wrong. I was like, listen, I can't even teach you basic English.
Isn't it hilarious that, like, when you were a kid and then you were in, like, the third grade and you're doing, like, your multiplication tables, or, like, it gets to be, like, I don't know, like, 9 times 15. You're like, Dad, I need help with this. He'd be like, I don't know how to do this. I'd be like, you'd just be like, why is my dad so dumb? And he'd be like, I did that 400 years ago. I have a calculator now. I don't care about this.
Yeah, you stop. And honestly, I was trying to do basic grammar, yeah, and I was, like, in my head, I was, like, really thinking, like, why is it he points, she points? Like, I really had to, like, think about how to explain it. I couldn't teach English.
It didn't make sense to me why my parents were so dumb and didn't know things. But doing word problems, I was like, Allie has 3 cats and Joe has 2 dogs. How many animals are there? And my dad would be like, I don't know about animals. I go to work and I build buildings.
Tony,
how can you build buildings but not know about dogs? Didn't make any sense to me.
He calls you a fag and tells you to shut up.
Just shut the fuck up and go to Little League. Nobody cares about this.
I don't think that's the answer, Dad.
You're going to be a fucking bricklayer all your life, you little prick. Yeah. Nobody cares how many fucking dogs there are.
You'll be using that shit the rest of your life. That's what they always said.
Yeah, nobody said that. They used to say that about cursive, too. I don't think they teach that anymore.
I don't even know how to read it.
He doesn't know how to read it. Well, you don't know how to read English down there.
Kid can't even read.
The books are written. All the books are written pre-Civil War. All the law books. You could legally own a man. They are 3/5 a person. 3/5 of a person. That's chapter 1 in law school in Arkansas. No votes counted for women and coloreds.
You know, Boston got voted, so they did a tally.
The most racist city in America.
Yeah, so the stat they used was they asked black people in like 10 different cities. They're like,
yeah, it's like, racist.
Basically, they asked him, like, do you feel comfortable in your city? And, like, it was like Atlanta, New Orleans, Charlotte.
Atlanta is 100% black.
New York, like, all these other cities.
I'm sure they're comfortable.
It was like 10% of black people didn't feel comfortable in their city.
Atlanta loves blacks. That's fine. That's a great thing.
Every other city. In Boston, it was 50% of black people don't feel comfortable in Boston. What the study didn't show is that 50% of white people also don't feel comfortable. Like, nobody feels comfortable.
Everybody hates everybody. It's
no
the
one
way
walks
everybody
into
is.
A Dunkin' Donuts and leaves and was like, well, that went well. Yeah. Like, I thought that was pleasant. Like, no one has a good time in Boston. Everyone is uncomfortable.
Everybody.
It's a fucking chaotic city. We're angry at each other.
It really is. It's just like everybody is out to just fight you and kill you. It's not even. Nobody wants to kill you, but they always want to punch you in the face. And I've always had punch in the face ability. Like, I was not a tough guy. Like, I was never out looking for fights. But, like, even in college, I was like, my friends would be like, what are we doing? I was like, I can't go in there. Those guys definitely want to punch me. And I'd, like, always be right. And they'd be like, why do these guys hate you? I was like, I don't know. That's just, like, the way I hold myself, the way I dress. I don't know what it is. They hate my guts.
It's a weird, like, today, I was driving
it's a Boston thing. You can only learn that.
I was driving to work, and you know when the lanes merged, the zipper technique? Like, it was 2 lanes down to 1. Like, there's nowhere to go. The guy next to me was fucking in a BMW, furiously not letting me in.
Yeah.
And then it was him and his wife. It was a Muslim couple because the wife had the whole thing going on.
Oh, boy.
And I just was like staring. I was like looking out the window, like turning my whole head, like staring at them, staring specifically at the wife in the passenger seat, who eventually argued with her husband to let me in. Yeah. And then in my rearview mirror.
Whoa, then she got a beating, I'm sure.
I see them doing the whole argument. And he's doing the whole, like, his arm is completely in front of her face going, he's coming around cutting in, he's coming around cutting in. And she's fucking, just let him know. And I was like,
It made me so happy. Shocking to me that a woman dressed in all that garb would ever talk to a man like that.
This is actually a huge thing. A lot of Muslim couples that move to America, women are leaving their husbands.
I can see that.
Because they get here and they're like,
I was married to you for 15 years. I'm 21. I'm done here.
No, but it turns out like they're like, no, you're not allowed to treat us like that in this country. Yeah. And so women are coming here being like liberated, being like, oh, we've lived under this like Muslim rule of like, you're crazy fucking man. This is big on the Patriots.
Yeah,
a lot
huge.
Of Muslim players.
There are.
But they're like, we've been living under your rule for all these years, and then you come here and you're like, oh, you're not allowed to fucking talk to us like that anymore. Like, you have to treat us like we're actually people, you fucking assholes.
It sounds like you're trying to capitalize on this movement.
Oh yeah,
I'm
Mia Khalifa. This is about one that ever mattered.
Who made less money than fucking your guy Gunner over there? She made $3,000 in the porn industry, and she's the most famous porn star in the last 5 years.
She's quite famous. I think ISIS wants her head. That's probably one part of it. Should we talk Patriots? We've already 45 minutes in. I don't think we've discussed it. I don't even know how I'm going to write a summary for this episode.
Who are they playing next week?
They're playing at Buffalo. That's a tough game.
The undefeated Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, well, you know.
They're good. I mean, they have a great team, but.
I was in a wedding with Josh Allen, so I've already asserted.
What?
Over him. Yeah.
What do you got? You were his best man?
No, one of my good friends. I was at his wedding in Fireball, California.
Is that the name of a place? Fireball?
Fireball. Ball. B-A-U-G-H.
Wait, that's a lame. I thought it was Josh Fireball. Allen go I would have been college. Stoked about that.
He went to Wyoming. I've already asserted dominance over him. He's a huge Tom Brady fan.
Who isn't? Listen, all right. All I want to do is play this one thing as it is Buffalo Bills week.
No one circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.
And this bad boy.
Is going down! Yeah!
My favorite guy ever. The guy loves it. He's dead now, but I love him.
I mean, so is Buffalo like, everyone's like, oh.
Undefeated.
The spread is 6 points.
Seven now.
Seven seems low to me. I mean, there, a lot of talk that Brady was slightly complaining that he's a little weak at receiver, which, to be fair, he is. I don't think so.
I think that's a blasphemous to say is he's Edelman weak at playing? Receiver.
I think that's
he's
a
been practicing
take.
All week. What?
Did you?
Huh?
Are you? What did you say? We have weak receivers?
No, yeah, Tyler thinks we're weak at receiver.
I disagree. You got Josh Gordon, Julian Edelman, and Philip Dorsett. We just
no
won the Super Bowl.
Time out. Time out. I didn't know what Edelman practiced this week.
He practiced the whole week.
So that's a big factor because I thought he might have been out.
And Jacoby Myers is coming on.
Well, Myers, is, if that's the four, then we're fine at receiver. But if Edelman's out, we drop drastically.
Oh, yeah, of course. If Edelman's out, you're in big trouble, especially because they can't run right now. Sony Michel, like, when Sony Michel steps on the field, it's like, okay, they're going to run. So, like, nine people run right at the line. Nobody thinks they're going to pass when Sony Michel's in.
When was the last time the Patriots didn't make the Super Bowl?
2015.
And who was on IR?
James Devlin.
Oh,
or was
Jesus.
That 2016?
Yeah. Whatever year it was. It was the year they lost to Denver.
Yeah.
2016, because Denver won it. That was Peyton's last year, and he fucking hoopty-hopped it.
Yeah, but they didn't have a backup. The Patriots have a backup
So where did this guy come from? I read some weird thing like he was like a...
He's a German.
He was like an F1 visa or something.
He can replace Devlin. I love Devlin, but this guy looks mean as fuck.
He's played football for like 4 years. And
is he good?
I'm sure he's not. I mean, I watched him play in preseason. He was like...
Good enough.
Yeah. I mean, he's a fullback. What is there to do? You run through the hole first and hit the first guy you see. That's literally fullback 101.
Belichick said he was the last guy in the roster and he was the last guy expected to make the team.
Yeah. He was literally man 90.
I don't believe that. Gunner was the last person on the team, and that is just a fact.
Gunner got cut, and then they were like, we kind of feel bad. Like, let's bring him back now. Remember they were like, Gunner's been cut, and everyone was like, oh, that's kind of sad. And they're like, wait, Gunner's not been cut. And it was like literally like Ali got up off the deck.
And now he's returning punts, and he gets, every time he catches a punt and doesn't call a fair catch, that guy gets crushed.
Well, he has not figured out the art of like finding a hole and attacking it or preserving your body at all. He's just like, I'm getting it and I'm running as fast as I can wherever I can. Like, literally wherever his head comes down to look forward first, that's where he's going. There's no jukes. There's no fucking spin moves. He's like, this is the spot. I don't care if it's into fucking the arms of the biggest guy on the other team. Doesn't matter. He's getting helmets in the knees, diving over people. He averages like 2 yards a return and he gets fucking obliterated every time. But what are you going to do? Now, everyone's always after me like, well, isn't it better than Julian Edelman doing it? I was like, no.
No one's better than Julian Edelman. He's literally the best punt returner of all time.
Yeah, nobody gets it. Everyone's like, but if he gets hurt, but if he gets hurt. I don't care if he gets... Listen, it's not about if he gets hurt. Football players play football. Bill Belichick said it, not me.
That is a fact.
Yeah. The same reason they had Gronk in on extra point coverage, if you recall.
Yeah, well, we also put Gronk in on the Miami Miracle last year. That was awesome.
That's the position he's played for 10 years. It wasn't his fault to fucking got by the other 10 guys. He's supposed to be the last guy.
And he was. He was the last guy. That is true.
Yeah, and he still got ran by. What are you going to do? They show that all the time, like on TV. Like just like I don't know, like a fan video of it, and everyone's going nuts. I'm just like, it's so stupid.
They
like
played the top 100 plays in NFL history. That was on it.
Of course, I mean
it was a week 14 meaningless kick return.
Was it week 14?
Whatever it was, it was like week 13
or 14.
It was not a kick return. It was the fucking what do you call it?
It was a kick return.
Lateral plays. No, it was laterals and shit.
Oh, whatever. It was the last play of the game. It was meaningless.
To the overall season, it was good for Miami, and it was annoying for me.
Puerto Rico.
It basically kept the Patriots from having home field advantage in the playoffs, though.
No, that mattered.
But it was better, I think, that they went on the road and won in Kansas City. It made it way better.
God, fuck Arrowhead. Yeah. I hate.
I'm not scared of it. Patriots got the Chiefs in Foxborough this year.
Will there be a game this year that a McCourty doesn't get a pick?
Impossible. Devin McCourty gets all the interceptions. This one last week, I was like, where's he throwing that? And there was literally nobody except for Devin McCourty there. And it was just like a lob ball to him in the middle of the field. I was like, the ball is just finding him.
I don't think the Bills score. I don't think they score a touchdown. I don't see them scoring a touchdown.
The fans are always jacked up, like, for the game. So the Bills always come out hot. The Bills defense keeps getting better, and they're better.
The Bills are good.
Yeah, they're good. They're good,
but like the Pats haven't had a game yet they needed to get up for.
Yeah.
Well, no, but
the Steelers they didn't get up for.
But they do. That's the difference. They do get up because Bill Belichick is the man.
Yeah. So they, I mean,
kinda, but I mean, you're playing a team that's literally tanking, and then they played a team with a third string quarterback. Like, you can get up as much as you need to, but like they want to fucking put Buffalo in their place. And
definitely
after the Antonio Brown shit, they're like, oh, this offense, you know, you kind of do they need Antonio? Blah 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 blah.
No, it's 100%. They're gonna go in.
They're gonna.
It's a division game with the same record, and they definitely want to go in and fucking win and be ahead in the standings. Like that's definitely no joke. And I don't think fucking what's his face Josh Allen can read the Patriots defense. I was saying it last week. I was like, there is no fucking way Luke Falk, an air raid quarterback, can read the Patriots defense. I was like, he has no idea what he's doing. I was like, the Patriots are just moving around, like one down lineman, zero down lineman, fucking eight defensive backs. Luke Falk was like, this is not the same sport I played in college.
When was the last time a Patriot defense was better than the offense?
Oh boy, let's see. Probably 2003.
You think it was three or four?
Yeah, 2003, I think, was the best, maybe the best defense they ever had.
I think you could argue 2014 was pretty close.
2014?
Yeah. 2014?
Yeah, maybe.
They were good.
Yeah.
I mean, Hightower was in his prime then.
Chandler Jones. Yeah, I know, but Revis.
And Collins.
Collins. Although Collins, again, with a ridiculous game, by the way.
Collins is the fucking
he's
man.
Gonna be, he's in Defensive Player of the Year territory right now. Legit.
It's crazy.
He's got like 15 tackles, like six tackles for loss, 2.5 sacks, 2 interceptions, a pick 6.
And I'll tell you who else is.
I'll recite it to you. He's got 19 tackles, 5 assists, 2.5 sacks, and 2 interceptions.
Ooh. Yeah.
And a touchdown.
Yeah.
Dude, and like they haven't really unleashed him yet. Like they're playing him and they're blitzing and everything, but like they are going to start like Hightower, Van Noy, and Collins when we come at the middle, they're gonna be madmen. Yeah. It's gonna be chaos.
Like, and Collins is making like $1.09 million.
Yeah, he's gonna get so much money next year. Like, but if he sees how good he's playing right now, like how could you ever say
no? He'll do. He'll take $4 million from the Patriots.
Yeah, so he'd have to stay here for cheap. But my fear would be that they would trade like Hightower or something.
No, I think is gonna happen is that halfway through the season they'll give him an extension. Be like, hey,
this is ridiculous.
You're having a good time.
Here's the issue with that, though.
Let's give you a bonus. Let's pay you, and let's move on.
He can't do that.
Yeah, he's a little. He might have a little AB in him. Not like he'd go crazy, but I think that once he gets money, he lays down. What did he do in Cleveland? He was terrible.
No, but he said he's a father now.
Yeah. Oh, well,
and he's changes everything.
He's a father now.
It changes everything.
That's what he said. I don't know if you guys are reading interviews, but Belichick fucking loves this guy.
Yeah.
Belichick said he sees things on the defense before Collins sees things before Belichick sees it. And you know, you could say
he likes to. He loves to pump up his players. I mean, let's face it.
He does, for sure. But at the same time, like, I think Collins is a different guy now. I think he's I think he probably could have got more money elsewhere, and was like, "Fuck it, $1 million is good money."
Yeah, and he just made 50 in Cleveland.
And yeah, and I can fuck it. I have my money, and I just want to play football and not want to fucking murder people.
Yeah,
like, he's enjoying himself, and he has a kid. Let's not forget that. Fellas.
Yeah, no, let's not forget it. I mean, he is the most athletic guy like I've ever seen. So it's just great to have him back. I love the fact that like Bill Belichick is like traded guys, or he like let Chung leave. Or, like, traded Deion Branch, and he's, like, thinking about, not that Deion Branch is bad here, but, like, Chung and Collins. Collins was okay, but, like, would never, like, he was just, like, acting up his last year, so he was like, fuck this, get out of here. Chung was legitimately terrible when he was on the Patriots the first time.
They fucked Chung up.
Yeah, they didn't know, how to play him at all. I love the fact that, like, they'll change their defense, and Belichick's just, like, thinking for, like, years. He's like, you know who would be great now? And he'd be like, let me get Patrick Chung back. Now he's like one of the best safeties in the league. And he's like, you know what would be great in this kind of defense that we're running? Jamie Collins.
Dude, I'm not convinced that Collins couldn't be our tight end.
Yeah.
Collins could legitimately catch 10 touchdowns a year at tight end. Like, he's that athletic and like he's perfect for it. Like, why couldn't you just flip him and be like,
you play both ways now.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see him. Who would cover him?
I don't know. He's fast. That freaky athletic. He's definitely thickened up over the years. Like, he was way thinner when we first got him. Because he played, like, safety at college and like at Southern Miss.
When he first, the first year he played on the Patriots and he came in and played in that playoff run, he was, like, an outside linebacker coverage specialist.
Yeah.
Like, that's all he did. But
he was super fast.
He was a freak.
Yeah.
And then, so I think, and they always said that he used to cover Gronk in practice.
Yeah.
And he used to lock down Gronk, like, if he's the only guy who can lock down Gronk, flip it and run Gronk's routes.
No, there's no way he fucking locked down Gronk. You don't think fucking Gronk would run right past Gronk Prime running by? He wouldn't be. No one would stop him.
Dude, Collins is the only. Collins and Chung. Chung not as much, but Collins, I could definitely see him covering Gronk.
I could see Chung. I could see
Collins is a fucking freak, dude.
Chung battling
isn't
him.
Collins isn't even the best player on his defense right now. You got old Gilly.
I mean,
Gilmore might be the best defensive player in the league. The problem with that is he doesn't get any stats because nobody throws it at him.
He just blocks people down.
Last week that Robbie Anderson, that fucking absolute nobody slob, talked shit, was like, well, yeah, he holds some of the time. So I was just like, you know he's getting eliminated from the game.
What a dumb fucking
thing. I was like, you are a below average receiver. You're not even, like, I wanted him to get the Freddie Mitchell treatment, you know, like after the Patriots won the Super Bowl. And against Philadelphia a bunch of years ago, Freddie Mitchell was like their number two receiver right behind Terrell Owens. And he talked a ton of shit before the game. Was like, they're not that great. Rodney Harrison's a bum, like all this shit. And he went and had zero catches, and Rodney Harrison lit him up. And then they asked Bill Belichick. This is the only time he's ever like gone out of character. They asked him after the game, like, what do you think about Freddie Mitchell? He's like, we were happy when he was in the game. He's probably the worst receiver in the league. He's terrible. He's terrible. We were happy when he was playing.
Who is the, it was the Patriots. Whenever they played Baltimore and they missed, whenever the kicker missed the field goal to, like, beat the Patriots.
Yeah, but they kind of, didn't they call it good? Oh, no, that was against,
it was
at home.
Derek Mason. Yeah. It was the Patriots and Mason, like, catches the ball down the Baltimore gets a flag against the Patriots. They move the ball down. And he's talking shit to Belichick.
Yeah.
And Belichick turns and goes, fuck you, Mason. You made a catch all fucking game, you fucking loser. Like, just screams.
Look
at
the
him.
Scoreboard. Can you see the scoreboard, Mason?
Yeah. He's like, you haven't done shit all game, Mason. Like, you just know that. Like, Belichick really
just
does
fuck
have that
you.
Fire. Like, he really does.
He was
screaming.
He told Adam Thielen to go fuck himself last year.
That was awesome.
Oh, that was electric. That's when I knew we were going to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Belichick on fire on a football field. Like, he's such an unassuming guy. Like, he's just like an older man now, and he's still telling fucking elite athletes in peak condition to go fuck themselves.
And you know the players must fucking love that.
Oh,
like,
my God. They must
see
go
your coach
nuts.
Look at one of the best players in the team and tell him to go fuck themselves. Like, no one's doing that. Pete Carroll's not doing that.
No, Pete Carroll's a baby boy. He's such a pussy. He's a pansy.
There's no good coaches in football.
No, there's
McVay
three.
Is the most overrated coach of all time.
Sean Payton's a good coach.
Yeah,
offensively.
I like Sean Payton. Only strictly, like, one of the big things I like about him is that they did that thing where they're like, take other people out. Like, What was that thing called?
Oh,
Bounty Gate.
Yeah, Bounty Gate.
Like, that's like, yeah.
Who's the fucking defensive coordinator for the Jets now?
It's what you should be doing, though. Like, that's the whole, like, the Patricia O'Neal joke.
Yeah.
Where you, like, well, like, after, like, we would do the paralyzed dance. Yeah. Like, we'd paralyze a player, we'd do the fucking dance over him.
He goes, he's paralyzed.
The next game, like, someone's mama would be holding up the socks. They'd be like, whose socks are those? Oh, those are the socks of the guys who paralyzed last week. Here's the socks. You can't walk no more. You don't need these, boy. That's football. And that's what is happening.
Outside of the Chiefs, who's the biggest threat to the Patriots?
There is none.
I was about to say. That's what I was thinking.
Brady, I guess?
Yeah, an injury. That's the only... There's the Chiefs and an injury are the only two things. Like, I think the Chargers don't look as good as they did last year. Baltimore looks better, but I would tell you right now that Lamar Jackson will never beat the Patriots.
No.
Never.
That team is good, but like their defense isn't as good as it used to be. Their offense is sneaky better.
Yeah.
They have a good offense, but they're like more of a balanced team, but their defense used to be the problem, but it's not as good.
I promise you Lamar Jackson cannot beat the Patriots.
And Houston's okay.
Oh, yeah, Houston's good.
Tennessee's okay.
No. Tennessee stinks.
The Colts are okay.
No, there's nobody else. It's the Chiefs again, which will be the Super Bowl. The Chiefs Patriots is the Super Bowl again. You know what I mean? Like, and then the play. I don't even know who come out of the NFC.
There's no one good in the NFC.
The Saints. The Saints will come out of it.
The Saints are fine, but they're not great. Like, they're beatable.
The Saints, the Rams, the Packers. I guess look okay now.
The Packers are playing the Eagles tight. The Eagles aren't good. The Eagles are
the Eagles don't look great right now.
The Cowboys
the
look
Bears
decent.
Don't look good. Yeah, I guess the Cowboys look pretty good. They're playing at home this year. The Patriots Cowboys a couple weeks. We'll see what that's all about.
I would love nothing more than for us to just take Jerry Jones and just squish him.
I have no doubt that Dak Prescott will not be able to quarterback his team past the Patriots.
I mean, that's a game where he throws three interceptions. Like, yeah. He is the worst. Like you ever bet on Dak Prescott?
No.
I'm going to say a few times I might have last year. Maybe a good 8 to 10. Because 2 years ago, they were 14-2. Yeah. And then you think, oh, they're going to go 14-2. And then they fucking suck because Dak Prescott is the worst quarterback I've ever seen.
Yeah, he's really not great at all. He's got, his offensive line is probably the best in the league. He's got one of the top three running backs in the league. He's got two really good receivers, a good defense. He just has to be there. I mean, I would never say he's going to beat Tom Brady, especially not in Foxborough.
No, he's average at best.
They
shut that run game down easily.
Yeah, and I'm
struggling. Their D-line is good.
The Patriots' defense, like, barring any injuries, this is going to be the best defense they've ever had. And we all say, there's an old saying in football that says, defense wins championships. Am I right, Falcon? Facts. I meant to say folks. Anyway, like, the defense has given up zero touchdowns this year. Zero. They would have had two shutouts in a row. If not for Gunnar Olszewski and Jarrett Stidham, back-to-back shutouts, an outrageous streak in an NFL geared towards passing and offense.
What have they allowed, 6 points?
They've allowed 3 points this year.
They have 3-0
and
14, but there was 0 points on the defense.
Wow.
Haven't even allowed 500 or 600 yards yet. I'm sorry.
Yeah, 597 total
yards.
Honestly,
this game, like, we're looking at, like, this is a 24-3 game. Like, there's no chance Buffalo is going to be in this game. Like, they're just not going to be in the – especially after what Jared Allen or whatever his name is.
Josh Allen.
Dumb Allen fucking did to him last year when he did that scramble and ran for the touchdown for, like, 42 yards or whatever, and the game was close and Brady had to come back and win. Like, they're not going to be in this game.
I think you're thinking about Mitchell Trubisky.
No, Jared Allen did it too.
No, Josh Allen was terrible against the Patriots last year.
He was not very good.
At home, he had that one rush down the sidelines too.
No, we didn't. We played them on Monday night in Buffalo, and it was a backup quarterback.
Yeah.
And then when they played in Foxborough, he was the quarterback, and he was terrible.
Well, they're gonna spank. I see 24-3.
I think points are gonna be hard to come by. I'm going to say it's going to be Patriots 24, Buffalo 10. Buffalo gets the first touchdown on the Patriots.
No chance.
Yeah, I mean, it's on the road. It's a good 3-0 teams.
The Pats haven't had to get up for a game.
They get up for every game.
The defense is going to be hungry.
That's why they're the best dynasty ever. Bill Belichick just says some monotone shit, and they just all get fired up about it.
Yeah, they do. What do you got for a score, KP?
27 to... The Patriots score 27, and I think they'll score 7. I give them 7.
If you don't think the Pats are covering this game, like, this is easy money. A 3-0 Buffalo team at home? Get the fuck out of here, you loser franchise. Like, you're going to lose. It's over. It's like being Arkansas playing LSU. Like, oh,
whoa,
yeah,
language.
Am I sorry? Did you beat Tennessee State this year?
We couldn't beat Tennessee. We lost to San Jose State last year.
You couldn't beat Tennessee?
I know we couldn't beat Tennessee. They're saying there's a joke going around that Arkansas and Tennessee should play in the SEC Championship parking lot to see who the worst is.
It's a terrible Southern joke. Tell that fucking Piggly Wiggly.
That's actually funny. The funniest thing I've heard all week. That's hilarious.
Dude, in my lifetime, Tennessee was elite. Peyton Manning was the quarterback. They won the national championship.
I'll tell you the game to go to. Who?
Philip Fulmer was their head coach.
Yeah.
Is that the game you want to go to this year if you're a Patriots fan?
What?
Patriots at Washington.
Yeah, that'd be a good one.
It's like mid-October.
Washington stinks. Why would you ever want to go to
I wouldn't want to go to Washington. I don't even know if there's any.
They won't play there for eight. That'll be the last year they're playing in that stadium.
Why? Are they going to make a new one?
Who cares? The worst place of all time.
But isn't it somewhat new? Didn't they build that in the 90s?
I don't think so. Did they?
I think so.
Diggs didn't. He won a couple of championships, right, down there?
No, they won championships in like the early 90s and late 80s, but it was a different stadium. They moved to Virginia sometime. I don't know. But anyway, so what did I say? 24 to 10.
I don't think they score a touchdown.
I think the defense holds tough again. I bet you they have 3 interceptions or 2 interceptions. I mean, they're just tougher right now than anybody.
When is Tom Brady going to have a turnover? Is that ever going to happen?
Not this game.
He could. This is a good team. The Buffalo Bills defense is good. Like Tre'Davious White could easily shut down like Josh Gordon in this game.
Who's their D-line?
I don't know.
Like, are they going to get any pressure?
They got that Ed Oliver guy who's really fucking good. Yeah, he was like the number one.
They're a wild card team. They'll be in the playoffs.
Yeah, they'll be a playoff team.
How will they stop that?
Their defense is really good.
Who's going to beat them? The fucking
Houston, Kansas City, and okay. Houston, Indianapolis, and Tennessee are all making the playoffs.
Tennessee,
Indianapolis.
Indianapolis is good.
Indianapolis, I don't know about good. Good is good.
You think Jacoby Brissett can bring them to the playoffs?
Jacoby Brissett hasn't thrown a pick yet. He's fucking legit.
He's legit, all right.
He's as good as fucking Josh Allen.
Yeah, maybe.
And he's better than Mariota. He's better than...
Mariota stinks.
He's better than any of the quarterbacks in the AFC East. He's better than Andy Dalton. He's better than
Donald's good.
Big Ben's backup. He's better than fucking... He's as good as Lamar Jackson. Like, yeah, Brissett's not bad.
Jacoby Brissett. I don't know. I don't know if he's good.
How about all the Boston sports guys saying, can you believe they traded Brissett after 2 years of him blowing and all of a sudden he had 2 good games and he should be Brady's backup?
Dumb Ben Volen yesterday was like, Brissett's arguably a top 15 quarterback. I was like, he was the number 2 quarterback on his own team a week ago.
No shit.
I fucking attack that guy relentlessly on
Twitter.
They
deserve every second of it. The fact that any of these fucking dirty, these scumbags, these lazy, fat fucking go home to your fucking not make your wife come losers and you're fucking
dumb. Hey, easy. There's a lot of those around here.
Your dumb Boston Globe job. Like, go fuck yourself and you think, oh, let me go home and criticize Belichick because someone needs to hold that guy in chain. No, you fucking don't.
He owes you nothing,
below
sir.
That, yeah, go home and just praise him like every fan in Boston wants you to because that's what we all think.
Yeah.
You know anything more than Belichick.
Who was the buffoon today that was talking about how Tom Brady is on a steady decline?
Oh, it's unbelievable.
There was a guy on. It was Bucky Brooks, who's like literally an NFL.com scout. Like, he scouted for teams. He's like, I think if Tom Brady wins the Super Bowl, which these two things are, it's like an oxymoron what he's saying. He's like, if the Patriots win the Super Bowl this year and Tom Brady's play keeps declining, then he'll retire. I was like, first of all, His play hasn't declined. And how can you win the Super Bowl with declining quarterback play?
What do they mean decline? His passer rating is like 118 and a half.
He's rated the number one quarterback in the league.
Dude, he's about to be the most, he's about to have the most all-time yards and touchdowns. The most all-time touchdowns.
I can't
wait. Even though he technically already does because the fucking playoff numbers don't count, but whatever. If you want to go by your gay fucking rules.
It's going to be interesting to see what the NFL does when he breaks that touchdown record. Dude, they fucking drove a horse into the, remember fucking at Denver when Peyton Manning did it? They shut down the stadium. Fucking horses came out. They had fireworks. It was insane.
This really is. This is how we should
have started.
This is how we should have started the podcast, by the way. We fucked this whole thing up. We just holding back. We just got real angry about Brady.
Let's start it over.
And then coasted into fucking Tony getting fucked on a $700 check. But no, the Brady shit is really, it's infuriating. Like, why are you trying to take so much away from a guy who's played so, and it's like, oh, the big debate is Belichick the guy or is Brady the guy? Who gives a fuck? What? They both have six championships.
Yes. I had a hot tweet yesterday. I got million retweets, and I'm going to bring it up here right now. You guys can all follow it at Brady Disciple or at Malcolm Go Pod on Twitter.
I had a hot tweet too, but I'll tell you right after.
Yeah. You're skipping the most major thing ever before you get to this.
Okay, what?
You had beef with fucking Ricky Williams.
Oh my God, I forgot all about it. Oh my God, I forgot all about it. So that's so funny that you bring that up. I don't even know if anybody's going to get to this part of the podcast. We're an hour and 12 minutes in, but fucking the Ricky Williams, the football player, the great Heisman running back, University of Texas, Heisman Trophy winner. So I was made a joke because it was to the tweet that Antonio Brown. See, this is the problem with not prepping for these things anymore. I used to prep for like 3 hours before each one and write down a ton of notes and shit. Now I just don't do it. I just wing it. And I think everybody can tell. So I was just being silly. Like Antonio Brown wrote like, oh, Kraft got caught in the parlor. AB gets fired. It made no sense again, whatever. Just a silly thing, but he said he made a joke about Kraft getting jerked off. And I was like, Antonio, this idea of you coming, I forget what the tweet was. Like, basically, like you coming back is starting to look worse and worse. Like, it was a stupid joke because, like, you made fun of Kraft. And all of a sudden, Ricky Williams, like, the Ricky Williams tweeted at me, was like, we have good health insurance, though. And I was like,
I didn't get it.
And I was like, what the fuck does that mean? So I was just like, Ricky, what are you talking about? He was like, I was like, oh no. I said, why is Ricky Williams trolling me? And he goes, he's like, can you troll a troll? I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? I was making a joke about him saying Kraft was getting jerked off. And then he quote tweeted me, was like, oh, I was just joking. It's something that somebody says when they know they're wrong. And I was like, first of all, dummy, You can't quote something and then say the wrong thing. That's you're quoting my tweet. It's right there. Just use the actual tweet, you dummy. And then he blocked me. And then I went on a little rant about it. Why was I getting trolled by Ricky Williams? He didn't make any sense. So goddamn high, smoked himself retarded. Make no sense. Like, he came at me. He tweeted at me. I didn't go, hey, Ricky Williams, you dickhead.
No, and it was at like fucking 6 a.m.
Yeah. We were going at it. I was like at work. I'm like, why is Ricky Williams talking? Like, fuck you.
Yeah, I was just as confused. I didn't know what the fuck was going on in that whole exchange.
No, I was ready to get deep too. I was like, you quit football because you had to smoke weed like a fucking 12th. No. Like, you were a 12-year-old. Like, you quit your Pop Warner teams. Like, I want to go get high with my friends.
I mean, we're being honest. Ricky Williams is my boy, and I love the fact that he quit to smoke weed. Because he quit because he was like, listen, yeah, I'm good. Like, think about it. Would you show up to work your dad's office on Tuesday if you made $13 million. He'd be like, I'd probably coast the rest of my life. Like, that's what he did. He goes, I made enough money. Like, I'm going to smoke weed. And then he was like, oh, fuck it. I'll come back because I guess I feel like it. But he didn't need to. I mean, I love Ricky Williams. Ricky Williams is one of his favorite running backs of all time. And the fact that you had an altercation with him, and it didn't even really go that
bad. He had an altercation with me. Like I said, which goes back to the I have a punchable face thing. Like, I'm just sitting there and Ricky Williams comes at me. I'm like, first of all, Ricky, I wasn't even talking to you. And then now you're all of a sudden you're jumping on me like I'm fucking anti-health insurance or something.
I'm going to be honest.
He was arguing like outer space. Like he had to be high. It was like I was talking about chicken and he was talking about fucking broccoli. It made no sense. I was just like, we're not in the same realm. Like, none of this makes sense to me.
No, I agree.
Is
Did you follow along that thread?
I followed it and I was confused.
How can you not be? And I was like, Ricky, you're making no sense.
But I love Ricky.
And then he said, his,
you won the whole argument.
Of course, that's why he blocked me.
But I love
because he was like, oh, I think I'm an idiot. Because then I'm like, I just kept tweeting. I was like, his name on Twitter is like Ricky the Laureate. With the Laureate is like a person that gets an award for something, smart, like a Nobel Prize winning laureate is what you are. And I was like, you're the dumbest person on this application right now. Like, you're arguing nonsense and you make no sense and you're probably high as shit and none of this making sense, and and then he just blocked me, but whatever, I won the argument. I kind of wanted it to go viral because he was such an idiot, but I don't think anybody cares about Ricky Williams anymore is the problem.
What are you saying, KP?
Gronk, he did the same thing Ricky did. He quit to go smoke pot and chew CBD gum.
It's CBD. He quit because he was hurt, and plus he won 3 Super Bowls. He didn't have anything to prove. Ricky Williams was the best running back in the league. He was like, I'm just going to go get high.
Ricky Williams was like gangster.
So anyway, and then what was I else going to say? Oh, yeah, my other tweet was, what's his name? Fucking Trey Wingo, and everybody was like, oh, my God, he's the best quarterback you've ever seen. Ryan Clark said, he's already better than Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes. And I was like, and I made a tweet. I was like, Bill Belichick and Tom Brady have been beating the, quote, best quarterback I've ever seen since 2001.
Seriously, and you named off a bunch. Yeah. And that is spot. I mean, just in the last 5 years, I mean,
tell me how many times, like, everybody was obsessed with fucking Peyton Manning. How obsessed everyone was. It can't miss Andrew Luck, Brett Favre, greatest thing you've ever seen. Can run and throw. Aaron Rodgers.
Rodgers is the most overrated quarterback in NFL history.
I am so sick of hearing about Aaron Rodgers. He can throw the ball far.
Yeah.
He is the most overrated quarterback in NFL history.
He's 2-0 against Mahomes. I mean, we're fucking. How many more best quarterbacks you ever seen does he have to beat?
But how many times can the best quarterback of all time not make the playoffs? Like Rodgers, yeah. Like get your team up. Like part of being a quarterback is like you're the guy everyone on the team kind of looks towards. Yeah. And Brady is that fucking guy. Like
Tom Brady.
You never heard of one player ever who played with Brady badmouth him. Never one fucking player. No. People want don't
love
play with Rodgers all the time.
Like, I think it was James Harrison was pretty famous. Was like I wanted to hate him so much because I was a Steeler all those years. And then I came back and I was like, I came to New England. I was like, this guy's the best. I love him. Like he's like, I love this man. So anyway, yes, that tweet.
He's just a fucking. That's what he is. He's just a fucking man who wants to win fucking.
He just wants to win football games.
Damn it, do I love Tom Brady?
And at work.
And fuck all. The Boston media can really go suck my dick.
This is where you find. If you want to. Listen, when the Patriots start getting into tough games, this is where you want to go for your Patriots knowledge. Not anywhere else. It's the only uncensored Patriots podcast, the Malcolm Go podcast. You can find us on Twitter at Malcolm Go Pod, me on Twitter at Brady Disciple. Tyler, you're at maybe it's Tyler, right?
Yeah, I had a hot tweet. My hot tweet of the week was ironically socialists happened to be the worst tippers.
Yes,
I had a guy this week talk socialism in front of me for 20 minutes. Both of them, they're talking about socialism. One guy was like, "All right, I'll pay for the beers."
Yeah.
He left $40. Right, he got up and left before the bill came.
Yeah,
the other guy sitting there, this is right next to me. The guy sitting there goes, "All right, I'll take care of it." The bill was $30. He left $3 and took $7 from his friend. His friend left $40. He left with $7. You're a socialist fucking asshole. All you're talking about is the working class guy. I'm right in front of you, you fucking dickhead.
I'll take the change.
I don't have health insurance. Give me your fucking. All right, no, you take it.
Take the change.
Take your friend's money, you fucking scumbag.
And then Tyler probably went to the Elizabeth Warren rally that night.
How'd you know? This fucking guy. I'm a Bernie.
All right, boys.
Bernie.
We've gone well over our time, hour and 20. Until next week, it's Go Pats. Hey, make sure you follow and tweet us and, subscribe to us. We're on Spotify now, by the way.
The Patriots, you idiots.
Malcolm Go Podcast. And subscribe, rate, tell your friends. Let's go.
Do your job. All right, don't try to make too much out of it. Just do your job. 7-8 months ago, right? All from this moment. It's about honor. It's about respect. We win this game. Your honor. Your kids are honored. Your family's honored.
Stack receivers, two to the right. Russell Wilson extends the hands he has. Wilson, quick throw. And it's intercepted. Intercepted by Malcolm Butler. Butler has it at the one. Malcolm Butler. Stephanie.
Warner goes back to throw, and here's the blitz by Mike Vrabel. The pass is field goal attempt. Set to go. Snap ball down. Kick up. Kick is on the way. And it is good. It's good. It's good. Adam Vinatieri booms a 48-yard field goal. And the game is over. And the Patriots are Super Bowl champions. The Patriots are Super Bowl champions. The best team in the
league. Hey! Did it!
I love you, man.
Did it, bro. I love you. I love you. You're the greatest
quarterback in the world, man.
Hey, I love you, man.